Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement for our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. Melissa Ogden is the pianist. My name is Karen Pettis, your worship leader this morning. Let's all stand if able and sing our first praise song, He Has Made Me Glad, and we will go through this two times. We'll get gladder each time. Stand when God is shaking the earth.
We will stand on the promises of God.
Where can we find support when our foundations fail?
We will lean on the everlasting arms of God.
Where can we find salvation in times like these?
We will look to Jesus and to his covenant of life.
Let us worship the God of our salvation.
Let us pray. Great healer, sometimes we feel beaten down by life's suffering. We ask this day that you make us whole, O God. Help us to share your healing with the world. Free us from the demons that shackle our spirits and set us free from the chains that bind us, that we might help break the chains of others. Amen and amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is page 145, Morning Has Broken.
Thank you.
seated. The Old Testament reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. The call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word. And now we're going to have a special by Jackie Teets. And the title of it is All Sing.
I kind of tricked you here because it means we're all going to sing this special. Okay? If you'd have to be hiding in a cave not to know this song. It's called "This Little Light of Mine." It's a gospel song with roots in the oral tradition of the southern U.S., likely from the African American community before the Civil War. Some attribute it to Harvey Dixon Lowe, but research suggests it existed a lot earlier, so I think probably Harry probably just finally wrote the notes down and the rhythm down and the words down, but that probably slaves in the South were the ones that came up with the song to begin with. This is from a Bible school CD that I taught the kids singing from years ago called Crocodile Dock. Dock is in a boat dock. It's called Swamp Music. So you're going to find a real Louisiana Cajun type sound to this song. Unfortunately, I couldn't get just the music, so there's going to be a guy singing with us and some kids, but that's okay. It's a great rendition of "This Little Light of Mine." So I want everybody to get their light ready here. Right. Even those in the radio audience, you can get your light ready here. And we're going to go ahead and sing "This Little Light of Mine."
You guys stomp your feet like that? And let's clap together. That's it. Keep it going. Let's sing "This Little Light of Mine."
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.
Clapping on the back. All right, sing this real quiet with me now.
Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let it shine.
Okay, your assignment this week is to go shine Jesus' love everywhere you go.
Thank you, Jackie. That gets our hearts just in the right place this morning. Get ready to shine, right?
Right. A great rendition.
Very, very nice, yes. Very, very nice. We have our time now. While we're shining, to reflect on all of our prayer needs, all of those that certainly are on our hearts this morning. Do we have unspoken needs in the room? Unspoken, absolutely. Absolutely, that we hold close and dear in our hearts. This morning we see several that are listed on the bottom of our bulletin on the inside, and many, many more that we think about and pray, and especially this morning we think of the three children that were lost in the fire, and we just pray that they are surrounded, their families are surrounded by God's grace and love and mercy. Let's bow together before the Lord and take our cares and concerns to Him. Eternal God, You knew us before we were conceived. You called us as Your own while we were still in our mother's wombs. Keep watch over us, we pray, for we long to return to Your ways. Restore our confidence in times of doubt, for we yearn to be the people You would have us be. Grant us the confidence to go forth unafraid, that we might bless the world through Your presence in our lives. Lord, we see You all around us today. And Lord, we just thank You for our radio audience, for those that have come here to worship in this sanctuary. Lord, no matter if we have 10,000 people here or if we have 10 people, Lord, You are here, and that's what's important. We have come to worship You, and we praise Your holy name, that we feel Your tangible presence here this morning. Your Holy Spirit is with us. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You don't leave us by ourselves, that when we are afraid, Lord, that's when Your light shines the greatest in our lives, because You're always there. Lord, be with us today as we worship and pray together. Make all the words and the prayers and the songs, Lord, may they come before Your presence, pleasing to Your ears and to Your sight. Lord, because that's why we do it. For You and You alone. Lord, we honor You this day and pray that You will bless each person here. Let us open our ears to listen today and to hear what You are saying to us. We give You thanks, praise. May all honor and glory, Lord, be Yours. As we remember the prayer that You taught Your disciples to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. You'll see that on our screens here, but for those of you at home, it's towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. Hebrews 12, 18 through 29. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." But you have come to a mountain, Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At the time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "One more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I know that in numerous households and in numerous places, the conversation about selective hearing has probably come up. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. I agree. In our household, too. The conversation will happen something like this. Don't you remember when I told you such and such? And somebody sitting down here will say, "You didn't tell me that." And I'll say, "Oh, but I did. Do you remember when we were sitting here or there and I was sharing that?" And sometimes it goes the other way too. Sometimes he'll say, "Well, I'm sure I told you. I'm sure I told you." And I'll say, "But what was I doing when you were telling me? Was I working on my sermon, typing, and I'm going, Or was I really listening?" That's the question of the hour today, right? Are we really listening? Are we paying attention? Because sometimes we hear words, don't we? It's kind of like the Charlie Brown thing, blah, 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 blah. We hear it, don't we? But are we paying attention to what those words are saying? Just as we can turn a blind eye to things we don't want to see, we're all capable of selective hearing, of only listening to those things that we want to listen to. Most of the time, it's harmless and a sensible way of coping with a myriad of sounds that try to invade our personal space and to get our unwavering attention. But on occasions, we can use the capacity to close our ears and act as if we're deaf in a way that's potentially lethal. We're all guilty of it. Sometimes the first few words will determine whether we pay attention or not, right? The first couple of words, it's like, "Oh, I'm not interested in that. We're not dealing with that right now." But when God speaks, I think we all know that it's pretty important to pay attention. Same way the kids will learn in school, and they do, they have learned all along, that we must listen to what the teacher has to say, because when we get home and we're doing our homework, inevitably our parents will say, well, what did the teacher say? Did the teacher... I see the shrugging of the shoulders already. I know. We're all there, honey. It's not just you. We're all there. But inevitably, you know, I'd say to Tiffany, I'd say, well, what did the teacher say about it? Well, I don't know. She was just talking about it. Well, is there something in your book that you can read that gives you instructions? Well, I don't know. Haven't looked there. Haven't tried that. Well, I'm encouraging you this morning to try that, because we have a good book. We have a book where Jesus gives us an example of pretty much anything we're ever going to encounter in this planet Earth while we're here. And I think there's such a wide range and variation of different types of scenarios and stories, so God could cover all of those avenues. But much like I tell people when I'm talking about the 23rd Psalm, every one of them has a lesson to learn, and we know that it's a lesson that we remember that God has been with us through all of it. Whether it's been a joy-filled moment or whether it's been a worried moment, God has been with us through all of it. So why do we doubt, and why do we fear, and why do we question, and why don't we listen? It's kind of like, if I use the example that you're driving along on the expressway and you're starting to pull over into the fast lane and you suddenly hear this loud horn blasting from kind of behind, you'd be extremely unwise to ignore that horn beep. The sound of the horn was a warning that you're pulling out in front of another faster moving vehicle, and unless you swing back into your own lane, there's going to be a terrible accident. It's not going to be sensible to turn a deaf ear to the sound of the horn and carry on with your intention to pull out into that lane. And at the same time, pray that the Lord's going to keep you safe. We have our own agendas, and that we do. We have a plan, and let it not deviate from that plan sometimes. And when we pray, we expect that God's going to answer that prayer in the exact way that we have asked for it. And again, we're all guilty. This message this morning that the Lord is giving us is speaking to every single one of us here, I think, and everyone that might be listening, because we're all guilty of wanting it our way, because we see this much and the Lord sees it all. The word of God and the law of God are sometimes like the blast of that horn, warning us of dangers of what we're thinking about doing, or sometimes thinking about saying. And, you know, I guess something that I was thinking about this morning as well in the other church is, you know, I know that Scripture tells us that thinking it is just as bad as saying it. That's hard, isn't it? That's a hard lesson for us to learn, that thinking it is just as bad as saying it. We must not turn a deaf ear to what God is saying and carry on regardless. Scripture tells us that when we deliberately turn that deaf ear to the things that God has spoken and carry on, but still pray for God's blessing on what we're doing, Scripture tells us, and it uses this word, that our prayers become detestable to Him. I don't think any one of us want to think that a prayer that we're saying is detestable, but that's a word that's used in Scripture. We can't do our own thing and expect those. The choir in KPAC this morning sang Showers of Blessing. I know most of you know that song. There shall be showers of blessing. That's what we want, and that's what God wants for us. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love, and that's what He wants for us. But when we are defiant, and yes, I'm going to use that word defiant, and want our own way, insist upon our own way, we must expect the consequences of our actions. I don't think defiance is what God appreciates. He asks us for obedience. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. None of us are God or ever will be. But we have an everlasting God that knows all, sees all, is all, guides us in the way of love. If it's going to be harmful to somebody else, don't say it or do it. If it's going to tear down instead of build up, and I'm not saying enabling bad behavior by any means, but there's ways of approaching challenges in life, isn't there? And we want to try to approach them with as much love as we can muster up, with God's direction. And some are going to say, I just can't do that. I used the example in KPAC because it actually happened in KPAC many years ago. We were doing something special. We had a special presentation, and I had cut up pieces of paper, about 10 of them, and they had sentences on them that I wanted various people to stand up in the congregation and just read them, you know, number one, number two, number three, just stand up and read them from various places. And I think it gives us a different feel for maybe Scripture, or it just is something interesting to do. And but I didn't do it too much ahead of time. In fact, I brought them in on Sunday morning because I didn't know for sure who would be there and who wouldn't. So I thought, it's one sentence. Everybody here could probably handle that, unless you're not feeling well or something like that. But I went around and I was trying to distribute these 10 pieces of paper, and some people would say, "You want me to read this? I guess I can do that. I guess I can do that." Okay, some people were eager and said, yeah, I'll read that. And some would say, "What is it?" And I'd show them, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. But there was a couple of people said, "Oh, no way can I do that." And they were pretty adamant. And they were people that I knew would be very capable of reading us that sentence. I didn't try to call on somebody that I thought would be, you know, really put out by this in some way, or really embarrassed, or whatever the case would be. But isn't that how it is when God's talking to us sometimes? He's got something for us to do, and He's trying to hand it to us, and He's trying to nudge us, because He never pushes, and He never grabs our wrist and hauls us, at least most of the time He doesn't, into some situation, but He nudges us to do what he wants us to do, or what he knows is going to be a blessing, not only to us, but to someone else. And as he's nudging us, he's telling us, I'm here. He lets you know that he's here with you, and you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it with his help and guidance, with his love. And yes, by golly, probably some of us wouldn't do it on our own. But you know, with God's help, there's nothing that you can't do. There's many people that stand up here and do the liturgist job that probably at some point feel a little nervous or feel a little unsettled. And there's lots of people that do different tasks in the church, whether it's cleaning up or whether it's whatever, changing a light bulb, whatever the case might be. Without God's help, we can become fearful, we can become unsettled, we can be sure that in our heads that voice says, you can't do that. You don't know how to do that. Let someone else do that. And that's what it means this morning, I think, about shutting out those other noises and allowing for God's word to come in. Have you ever wanted to tell somebody something really important? It was really important to you. It was really, maybe it was something that had happened during the week that really spoke to you, really meant something important to you, and the other person was really not listening. And you could tell the moment you started speaking that they could just care less about that. And if you've been on the receiving end of that, you know how hurtful that is. And how often do we do that to God? How often do we do that to the Lord? Where he's trying to get a message through to us and we are just in the middle of something else and it's just coming and we're just not paying attention. And it's important. Can change our lives. Can change who we are. And he certainly wants us to change or help to change others to be able to see him, to transform the hearts of not only ourselves but others, to know God's love, to know his patience with us. Most of the time, being hard of hearing isn't the issue, but rather that selective hearing again. We hear your voice, but don't listen to what you're saying. It can certainly be so frustrating to the one that's doing the speaking. And no one likes repeating themselves, especially if you don't feel like the other party's interested at all. Yet again, Israel so many times was caught complaining. The Lord had been with them. The Lord had guided them, supported them, fed them, nurtured them. And yet there was so much complaining. They'd received the promises of the Lord, yet had been selectively hard of hearing on so many issues. Things hadn't gone the way they were anticipating. God hadn't moved in ways that they had wanted. And second guessing soon followed. A testament to his faithfulness and strength, Isaiah gave insight into the depths of God's love and wisdom. Yet again, God repeated his intentions and gave reassurance for the hard of hearing chosen. I don't know about you, but when I see Jesus in heaven, I don't want him to have to think that I ignored his nudges. I don't want him to think that I didn't think what he had to say was important. Selective hearing can distract and mislead our hearts from what was originally communicated. When we hear in part, and that's another thing, when you're speaking and somebody has just heard a little phrase or a little piece, and then they assume, because they haven't heard the whole story. We hear in part. We can easily skew that little piece that we heard. To grow in God, hearing his full counsel is important. Walking in his ways and staying true to his vision for our lives takes delicate and focused listening. However, even when we tune out or our attention drifts, God is loving enough to remind us once more of the goal and his ability to get us there. And he will get us there if we don't keep throwing up roadblocks, if we listen to the instructions. It's a good thing for us here in the sanctuary to hear this morning. It's a good thing to remember when we go to school this week. It's a good thing to remember on a daily basis that we need to pay attention. Walking in his ways selective hearing leads astray, while a focused heart grows in grace. Some years back, I don't know, maybe you had it here too, years back, in KPAC, there was a group that was traveling around, and they came in with a program called Faith Comes by Hearing. Has any of you ever heard of that? And they came through, and they were offering, at the time, either cassettes or CDs of every book of the Bible where it was read to you. So if you were in the car or if you were at home, you weren't a great reader, or your attention would wane, you could pop that in and listen to the Bible being read to you. And again, the name of that was Faith Comes by Hearing. So we've been talking about great faith over the past few weeks. So today we just want to add to that, that our faith comes by hearing God, listening for his voice, his nudges. You know, some of us probably think more about needing the 2x4 experience, but God is gentle in his ways. And God wants us to listen because we're interested, not because we have to, but because we're interested in being the best that we can be. Tune your ears and your heart this morning to the voice of God. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for your voices of wisdom, for your encouraging nudges, for your warm embrace, for the tangible ways that you show us you're here. Give to us your grace this day, Lord, that we might be better at listening and obeying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can have our ushers come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. God of power and might, in times of trial, you are our fortress and our refuge. In thanksgiving and praise for your wonderful gifts, we offer you our tithes and offerings, that others might know the strength of your unshakable kingdom. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is found in your hymnal this morning, 163, Ask Ye What Great Things I Know. It's also on the screen. Our benediction is responsive this morning. God has set us free.
God frees us from bondage.
Christ has made us whole.
Christ heals our wounds.
The Spirit has strengthened us for the journey.
God's Spirit sends us forth.
Go with the confidence of God's anointed. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds in our closing this morning. Join us for fellowship. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.